Good afternoon, everybody. This is Radio Johnny, and I am currently on the road this week, so you're going to hear a playback from, I believe it's July of 2019, with Miss Denise as she interviews Nancy, a woman in recovery. It's a great show. I think you're going to enjoy it, and hopefully we'll be back in the next week or so with some new material, and looking forward to it. So enjoy this program, and we'll see you soon.
You are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP, and Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah Recovery Community Center located at 531 South Main, Suite B in Moscow. Their phone number is 208-883-1045, and their hours are Monday through Friday, from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Their email is latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can also find them on Facebook and Twitter. Recovery Radio's mission is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affect us all, and to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in recovery, highlighting their experiences, strengths, and hopes for the recovery community. I'm Denise Miller, and I'm grateful to be here today. And Nancy, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. And so Nancy and I got a little talking in, let's see, this last weekend when we were hanging out with some ladies and doing a little fellowship and eating some really, really, really good food.
Oh, yeah.
And we kind of got talking about things that, you know, life stuff and a little background with family and, you know, that kind of stuff. But I was hoping maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of give us a picture of maybe where you're from and just a little bit of Nancy as she was younger and growing up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I live here in Moscow. I've been clean. Well, the first time I got clean, I had over 18 years and grew up all over Washington and Oregon, and I have two kids that were, one was born in Spokane, the other one here in Idaho. I have one in recovery, one not in recovery, and of course, mom's in recovery.
So what was home life like as you were
home
growing
life
up?
Growing up, my family, my mother was an alcoholic, very abusive. My dad was not in the picture. I had a stepdad who was an alcoholic, and so that's what we were raised with. That's what we thought was the norm, you know. Very abusive, obnoxious, ran away from home when I was 12, couldn't do it, you know. My big sister basically raised me and my brother, the whole family is nothing but addiction. I mean, very dysfunctional. growing up was horrible.
So, and I think, I don't know if we've talked a little bit about, like, you know, generational stuff. I think you had mentioned over the weekend that it was just kind of what everybody did and it's what you saw.
Yeah. It's, you know, a lot of addiction, when you see it growing up, that's what you think is the normal thing. And so as you grow up, you think, okay, yeah, you know, they drank, so I'll drink. Or I saw my mom get high, so I'll get high, you know. I mean, that's what we thought was the norm, you know.
Right, because that's not, that's pretty normal. You follow what
your
parents are doing. You know, I was just going to say it is kind of a compliment because I called you your daughter's name, so, you know. That's where I got that
from. That's all right, you know. Yeah, addiction.
I just had to throw that in there.
Addiction ran hardcore in our family.
Sure.
I mean, you say when you're growing up, I will never be like my parents. Mm-hmm. I should have knocked on wood and closed my eyes or something because it didn't turn out that way.
I think that it's one of those things where unless there are steps taken to kind of correct some things, it's kind of hard not to follow.
In footsteps, yeah.
Well, yeah, the example that was led, I mean, that only kind of makes sense.
Yeah. It was hard, you know. And when I ran away when I was 12, I got really strung out and stuck on stupid, mm-hmm. and you know, yeah, did a lot of bad things, mm-hmm. you know. And when I turned 19, I got clean and sober. Didn't mess with anything. Didn't drink. Didn't do anything. And then I started having issues with my back. Had two back surgeries, got strung out on pain pills, you name it, I've done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually a subject that I would say, I'm just going to fix your cord here real quick. That's actually a subject I would say that has hit America really hard. Johnny and I have talked about, my co-host and I have talked about, you know, just the different things that have been going on with that. We've had the mayor in about it. The Latell Recovery Center, you know, works with that. And I think that the nation has finally really seen and is starting to understand how powerful that is.
It's very powerful. It really the opiate addiction these days is just, it's horrible.
Right. It's not like anyone intends. Just want to clarify for anybody who doesn't understand. In my opinion, it's not like I intended to go off and have a, you know, have this kind of a problem. Same thing, I had scoliosis. I started having problems with my back from my job and started taking, you know, prescription medication. And one thing turned into another, and it was just a train wreck, you know?
Yeah. So. It's incredible on how things go from one aspect to the next. And you're trying to figure out, wow, where did I go wrong? You know, right. It's almost like a slap in the face. You know, reality checks in and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, and now that I'm clean, because Lord knows if I wouldn't have got clean, it was either me being dead or, you know, losing everything I have, you know, my home, my husband, my kids, everything. Those mean more to me than anything, you know.
Yeah.
But when you're using, you don't think about those things. Mm-hmm. You know, life gets to the point you really don't care.
Sure.
You know.
And so in your, how would you describe that situation when that's what's starting to happen? That's the normal. It's like that substance is their priority. Can you? I feel like for me, it's kind of hard to explain because it's kind of like a feeling of, it's pretty intense and everything like that. But if you were to break it down.
When you're using, that's all you care. That's all that's on your mind. Where am I going to get my next fixed? Or where am I going to get my next, you know, pain pill? Whatever, you know. That's the only thing that crosses your mind. When you're an addict, that addiction doesn't stop. I mean, yeah. It's like a smack in the face and reality kicks in and you're like, oh my God, now what did I do? But when you start realizing that there's more to life than just sitting down and getting high, and you're seeing everything pass by and you're wondering, why can't I be a part of that? You know? Mm-hmm. I think that what keeps me going now is the respect I have for myself now, because I didn't have respect for myself then, mm-hmm. you know. The respect I have for my kids. My daughter's clean and sober. I love seeing her that way. And the way she talks is so much better than what she did when she used. The way I feel about life now is so much better, you know. I actually like getting up in the mornings and looking at myself, yeah, and saying, wow, you've come a long ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Considering to where I was before.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I look at people that I used to get high with and I'm like, wow, they look good. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, they look happy in their lives. I want that.
Absolutely. So I was going to ask, what was, and I know that there may have been a couple of times where, as there is for a lot of people, where there's sobriety and then sometimes there's relapses or fallbacks and things like that. But even just setting that aside, what were the things that helped you? Because a part of, you know, what is so important to Johnny and I, you know, especially being the outreach for the Latell Recovery Center, is just that we can bring some hope, for people. So just trying to share what are things that have worked for people. So what has worked for you?
Realize what your triggers are. Mm-hmm. You know, people you've hung out with, places you've gone, you know, certain smells, certain things, you know, the things that trigger you. Try to stay away from them. And if you can't, and if you have no choice but to be around them, you put yourself in that positive aspect. You know, you put yourself in a positive state of mind. You know, I can do this. Mm-hmm. You know.
Did you have any programs or support
I went
groups
through
or?
Rehab, but I have a lot of people, you know, who strengthen me.
Sure.
You know, I mean, when I have my days that, oh, Lord, I just want to give up and go, you know, mm-hmm. I'll talk to friends.
Yeah.
And they lift me up, mm-hmm. you know. Being around people who are clean and sober, going to AA, go to NA, go to whatever, women's group, whatever you have to do to keep yourself going, go.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You just pointed out something that, again, that I think is really important, and that is, you know, being in community and fellowship with people is important to have friends that you can talk to. You want to try to make sure you've got a support group. And at first, like, that can be a growing thing. I mean, I realize that, you know, we can be in active addiction and then we can wind up getting into recovery in the area that we were using. And so for me, I had to then, because I was, I'm a graduate of the Latah County Drug Court. So for me, like, legally, I couldn't be around any of those people anymore. So I had to start over, with only just basically talking to people in the program and my family, because those were safe people. And so you kind of start over, and you've just lost basically your whole friend base, you know, and what you used to do. But slowly, working on, you know, with going to meetings and different kinds of things like that, getting involved in your community and activities that are sober, where people are in recovery. So then it's pretty easy to explain. You show up at an NA meeting, they're giving you their phone numbers, and they get it. And you don't even have to say a whole lot. I mean, it's
right,
just,
because
it's just
they're
like,
in the same boat
I'm
you
here.
Are.
Right. They totally get it. They've been there.
Right.
So then, you know, you get one or two people that you're talking to over time. You start to get some friends built up. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just really, really crucial, at least for me, and I've heard this from a lot of people, to not be back in those situations where you become tempted. Because literally our senses are, you know, seeing something, smelling something, you know what I mean? Hearing something. I mean, it's all, excuse me. And it makes sense because of how they're doing all this, you know, research and figuring out how our brains work and everything like that. That's what I think is really fascinating.
Yeah.
Have you seen and read some things?
Yeah, I have. I have. And I've also, you know, I always look online because, you know, a drug is a drug is a drug. Mm-hmm. So you try to figure out different ways to fill your mindset, you know. And I'm always online.
Learning is good.
Yeah. And I like to learn things. And they're always, they try to say that when you've grown up in addicted homes, usually it's hereditary, which is BS. It's not hereditary. It's what you, how do you put this without, a lot of it is learned. And then you have to reprogram yourself to unlearn those things to get to where you want to be in your life on either your mindset or your body. Everything has to be reprogrammed.
So I was going to say, so I think it was yesterday or the day before. Oh, and I can't remember where I was listening. But they were talking about how you can, if you gradually start to work on, you know, new habits, new behaviors. So your brain, and I need to learn more about how to explain this because I get it in my own thoughts, but I want to make sense to my listeners. So keep me accountable for that, everyone. but so your pathways, you can lay new pathways. So for instance, if every morning I get up and I make my bed instead of how I used to, when I would wake up and you're like, whatever, where's my addiction? Where's my habit? I got to go do that. So then it becomes a thing and it lays that pathway. So as I'm, you know, thinking better thoughts, doing the behaviors that I want to do, it's laying these new pathways, and those other ones are getting cobwebs and they're getting dark and going dormant. Now, something could trigger back to that, it can, but the more and more that I lay these new pathways in my brain, the more and more and easier it is to follow it. And I just think that that's really great, because I'm kind of a person who likes to be able to visualize, you know, like, what is it? Like, if someone were to set a skeleton in front of me and be like, okay, here's your back, and this is the spot that's wrong. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's really helpful
right.
for me. You know, like, it makes it real. And so same kind of thing with this. Is I can picture that, and that, you know, there's all these really cool shows these days that will show you how your brain works, and this is the part that's doing this when you're using, and, you know, this is what
right.
needs to be fixed. So it all totally makes sense in the fact of how we heal, even, and the time that it takes for us to start to get better. So it's really cool. I'm gonna make sure. Let's see. I think. I just had to check my mic here for a second. Anyway, so what are some of the other things? So you did a program. Where did you do this program?
I went to Port of Hope.
Oh, cool.
I went twice, actually. The mm-hmm. first time I walked away, I was, you know.
Yeah, it can be hard.
If you're not ready, you're not ready.
Yeah.
And the second time I coined out.
And what does that mean?
I mean, it means I got my...
Oh, you graduated.
I graduated.
Cool.
And... I have relapsed, but I haven't relapsed in 3 years. So in that 3 years, I have started training myself like you would a dog, you know, get up in the morning, go to the bath, and do whatever you got to do. Well, with me, I have to train my brain not to think the negative. I'm always, I have to think positive, you know.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's like a retraining. Like a boot camp.
You're being intentional with correcting your thoughts if you have bad ones.
Yes.
And replacing them.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
That's great.
And I keep myself away from things that trigger me the most. And if I see people that I've known in my addiction, I turn and walk the other way.
Right. Yeah. You got to keep yourself safe.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Because I have a very addictive personality. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in myself, I'm strong, but I can't say, well, if somebody put it down in front right. of me.
Right.
You know, I can't say it wouldn't do it.
Right. It might be on.
Exactly.
That would be a problem.
Exactly. So I have to change everything. Everything in my life.
So let me ask you this. If you were giving advice to someone about if they... did relapse, what would you suggest? What would you suggest to anyone who is in recovery and they relapse? I think that's actually a good topic. And I don't know that Johnny and I have ever really talked about. Like, what would be the specifics that you would do?
Well, I have relapsed. So this, you know, I would contact a sponsor or I would get a hold of a friend as soon as you have slid, mm-hmm. you know.
Sure.
Get back into the meetings. The meetings are the most important thing to keep you going. Mm-hmm. You have your, I call them an extended family.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. sit and talk to them. You know, explain the situation. Addicts will try and cover the reasons why they used. Well, you know, it doesn't matter why you used. Get back into the meetings. That is the most important thing. Yeah. I cannot stress.
So, I mean, I think it can be good, not excuse making, but like to identify what happened.
Right.
Because there can be something in that, okay, so like you were saying, if someone threw something down in front of you, that may not be very good. But also, like, is there anything going on in life that kind of hasn't been addressed? I personally think that, and I don't know how everyone else is, but for myself, there are things where I'm like, yeah, God, I'm not really ready to deal with that. You know what I mean?
Right. You
and
stuff
I'm
it
like,
back.
You know,
stuff it back.
Yeah. It's kind of like, okay. And he'll be like knocking on the door. Hey, Denise, we really need to deal with this thing. I'll be like, yeah, you know, I'm thinking
tomorrow.
Not today.
I'll
you
do
know?
It tomorrow.
And then eventually, it's kind of cool. Then eventually, like, I'll be like, okay, but I don't know what to do with it. You know what I mean? Like, what do I, you know? So then maybe I'll start praying on it or whatever. And then it's really cool because it seems like about the time that I'm ready, something will happen where somebody will be like, oh yeah, so I'm reading this book or I'm doing this step study, you know? And I'm like, oh, there we go. So I just started reading a book that I have no idea how it's going to help me, but I'm hoping that it does, and it feels like it might. And it will at least help me understand other people, if not help heal me.
Right.
It's like, right. I see the word having to do with something that I'm like struggling with, and then the word healing, and I'm like, okay, this is a go.
This is for me. Yeah. People need to learn their triggers.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has different triggers. It doesn't matter. Like I said, it could be smell, mm-hmm. people, places, whatever. Yeah. Learn your triggers. If you are having issues with those triggers, call your sponsor.
Yeah.
Call the sponsor.
Yeah. Before.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Early on, yeah.
Their number is right there for you. Mm-hmm. They give you that number. They cannot stress it enough.
Right. Yeah. Even if it's starting to kind of come in as thoughts and just be like,
right.
Hey, so this is what I'm thinking about. You know, I think that it's really interesting, and I've experienced this with people in recovery and people not in recovery, where they'll be like, hey, so this happened and it's bothering me, but I just needed to share it with you. And I'll be like, that's awesome. And I find for myself as well, by telling somebody, saying it out loud to at least one person or texting or whatever,
yep.
it seems to relinquish the power that it has over me.
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing?
Exactly.
It's magical.
Because when you're able to talk to somebody, it's almost like this mm-hmm. big, big burden has yeah. been, taken off your shoulders, and you feel so much better and you're relieved and you feel, yeah, I can do it another day.
It's super magical.
Yeah.
It really is. Well, we're going to take a break, listen to a song, and get some water. And you are listening to KRFP.
Don't come any nearer.
and you're listening to KRFP, Moscow Pullman's Recovery Radio. And today we have Nancy in the studio. And just to clarify, your daughter's name is Megan.
That's where I got that. I mean, I didn't just pull it out of nowhere. But, you know.
Stuff so, happens.
You know, I mean, just walk around town, I'll be like, hey, Megan. And you'll be like, it's Nancy. That's my daughter.
So, right, I have a next door neighbor who likes to call me Mandy.
Mandy, that's a pretty name.
But that's not my name.
No, it's I think when I was a little girl growing up, there was a couple of names that I wanted to name myself. And we're talking like this is like five and under. And one of them was Star. One of them was Mandy. There must have been a doll I had named Mandy or something like that. I don't know. But it was super fun. Do you have any kid names you wanted to like rename yourself?
Yeah, I did. I was named after my mom's nanny when she was growing up. That's where Nancy came from. So, but I was always wishing she would have named me something exotic like Shy or, you know, something.
Yeah, like you just give me something out there, like
right,
something extravagant.
Exactly,
I'm one of a kind. Come on,
yeah. Well,
Mom, don't you know that?
Yeah, apparently, you know. I guess Nancy stuck.
Nancy was the one, right?
Yeah,
yeah. That's awesome. I just like to be a kid again. So, how's your summer going? How is recently going in recovery? Like, what's
summer
new or
summer has been good. We're in the process of building a cabin in Orfino.
Oh, cool.
So we spend weekends up there. Sunday we had the ladies group, and that was wonderful.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time with my friend Heather. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We've known each other. We are close.
She's
my best friend.
Yeah.
Whenever things are going wrong in my life, I call her and... Mm-hmm. Same thing.
It's super great to have one of those, isn't it?
In fact, when she went into labor with her daughter, I took her to the hospital.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. Nice. So it's been exciting. Keeping myself busy. I finally got my house cleaned. Thank God. Mm-hmm. We've been cleaning out our storage so that we could bring everything home and close out the storage. And
so getting things done in life.
Yeah. Things that you wouldn't think about.
Oh, yeah.
In other words,
nothing like that got done back then. You know, it's interesting because I've noticed that it's like, so you get some sobriety time and you kind of get a little bit of a groove. It's kind of like, so you're taking care of yourself and, you know, doing the stuff you need to do. And then you look around and you're like, I gotta get some stuff done. You know what I mean? It's different kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
But
responsibility stuff starts to kick in.
It's stuff that's fun now. As for when you were using, it was like, nah, I'd rather go and get high. I don't want, you know. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, I'm excited to do things.
Yeah, that's good.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not a people person, but it's nice to get out, you know. I like to watch people,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not a people person.
Yeah.
And Bill and I will go out and do things and we'll have fun, you know. Like I said, we go camping up at the cabin. I take my little dog, but,
yeah, I noticed that too. There's a lot of people in recovery will have pets.
I have to have her. If I did not have Bella, I think I would go absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
She has been the best companion pet I have had in years.
Yeah. That can really help. I mean, people in general, I think.
Exactly.
Like, so,
exactly.
You know, little, to have kids or, you know, a companion like that or whatever.
I have an empty nest now. I don't have any kids at home. Mm-hmm. I have Bella. And that's good for me.
That's good.
And she knows when I'm not in my right state of mind, she'll crawl up in my lap and she'll look at me and like, okay, Mom, talk to me.
Yeah, you need some love?
Yeah.
I'm here. I will listen to you and I won't complain.
Exactly. And she has been with me through my worst and she's been with me through the good, you know. And I couldn't imagine not having her.
Yeah.
You know. And Bill, the same way. I don't think I could imagine not having that in my life, mm-hmm. you know. Being clean and sober and not having to wake up in the morning and wonder where I'm going to get my next fix when all I have to do is roll over in bed and look at him and say, there it is, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
That's
people
that life.
Are good.
That's life.
Well, and you've got, you know, your friends and stuff like that that are there to help out if, you know, there's hard times.
Exactly.
And so that's really good.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. I think that Johnny and I do spend a little time talking about, you know, when hard times come, what, you know, what are the things that we do? And that's where the support team comes in. I mean, I just kind of want to clarify that, yeah, there are moments when people will relapse because of, you know, something. But then there are hard-hitting moments that happen in life that just happen.
Yeah.
You know, other grieving moments and, you know, and loss and just different kinds of things that happen. And it's at those moments where it's really important to know that you have people that you can count on.
Exactly.
That you can reach out to. And that you can just go ahead and be vulnerable. It doesn't matter if you've, if you're thinking about relapsing or whatever, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're going through, it's important to be able to reach out to some people and talk about it.
That's the truth, because my dad passed away, and after having so many years clean, and after he passed, I lost it.
Right, that's what I was gonna say, things like that.
Yeah, I lost it, and at that time, Bill was going through cancer. He had prostate cancer, so it was like, well, what do I do? You know, I have all this falling on my plate, and I don't know how to deal with it. So I think I'll just, you know. And I did. I disappeared and went off into my own little land. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was gone, you know. Yeah. Had never done those kind of drugs in my life. Yeah, one time.
Loss is super hard. And that's kind of the thing. Yeah. It's just trying to be in relationship with people and fellowshipping and setting up, you know, your week, your month, your time, so that it involves the people that you would need for these kinds of situations.
Exactly.
That's ideally, I think, really helpful.
Well, it's important. It's important to have a support system put in place, right? Because if you don't have that support system, you're going to fall.
Yeah, it can be really rough.
Really rough. And sometimes you can bring yourself back and sometimes you can't. But just to have somebody in your corner.
Yeah,
you gotta saying, I have your back, I'm here, you know, come to me if you need me, you know. You know, I mean, we're not, as an addict, I always fall back on that, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Mm-hmm. Give me the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, did serenity prayer last week.
That
long version.
That is important to me. I have it on my bathroom window door.
Yeah.
You know,
it is.
And that pushes me forward.
Yeah. Cause there are moments, a couple years ago, like we had 3 deaths in our family, 2 of which were within 6 weeks. And we're talking like immediate family, like, well, not my 4 walls, immediate family, not my children or spouse, but immediate family. And then there were 2 more after that. One was Shad's family and then another person. It was really, really rough. I think at that point, I was actually upset. Like, actually upset with God, kind of upset. I'm like, really? You know? And I remember just calling somebody who's been in my life for a really long time. And I was actually mad. I was like, I didn't even cry. And I'm not the type of person who usually gets mad like that, because I know God's on my side. I'm like,
yeah, right.
That's not the one who's causing the problem around here. God's helping me through my stuff. But
he's the one we always pick on.
I know, it really is. But it's
why'd you do that to me?
It's taken me a long time to actually understand how that all works. And I understand that we don't always get that. And I also understand that it's okay to get upset with God about stuff. He's like, yeah, okay, I get it. It's cool. You know, like, you tell me about it. Like, he doesn't want us to be like, oh, she's mad at me, but she's just sulking in the corner and she's not talking to me about it. I'll be like walking around in my house, like yelling, this is just, you know, this is just unacceptable. You know, like, why would you do this? Like, I'm not just going to keep quiet about it and just like stew in it. Not anymore. No. So I called her and I was like, I just can't believe this, you know, and it was the second person. And it was just crazy. But that was the point, though, is that I had multiple people that I could call. All I had to do was tell like 1 or 2 people, and my whole church is like, you know, what can we do? And, you know, we heard and just want to see how you are. Do you need anything? You know what I mean?
Right,
just like everybody's like, whoosh, what do you need?
It's family.
We're here for you.
It's
you
family.
Know? Yeah.
You know?
And so that was really, really cool, because sometimes things just fall apart And it's enough to just get out of bed if you can accomplish that in the day. I remember going into the grocery store and I was crying, and this went on for about 4 days. And I was just like, it's okay. And I was just like, I'm doing all my stuff. I'm running my car and I'm getting my groceries. I'm just bawling. And I'm just like, I'm okay. And just, you know what I mean? Cause it was just like, that's just what I needed to do. And it's okay. So if you see someone crying in the store and they, you know, but you could talk to them or not, you know, but sometimes that's just what needs to happen.
Exactly.
And I was like, forget being embarrassed. This is just going to happen. And I still got to go to the grocery store cause I still got to eat. So, you know,
right.
Here comes the tears, whatever.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, church is an excellent support group.
Yep.
But for the people who are still struggling out there, please try to get yourselves into AA or NA, any kind of recovery support system that you can get your hands into.
Mm-hmm. Or you can go down to the Laetal Recovery Center and they've got a wall of resources and different kinds of things.
Exactly.
Yep, right downtown.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they are willing to help in any way, shape, or form.
And it's all free.
Exactly.
You know? I wanted to mention here, because we just have a few minutes left. So most people have phones. You can download an AA or an NA app on your phone. At least from my experience, I have an iPhone. I've done that. It'll give you the local meetings within the area. It'll give you the just for today and things like that. The Laetal Recovery Center, like I said, that's located right down on Main Street, 531 South Main Street, Suite B, and also next door to it, because that's becoming the crisis center. And I haven't heard the final notice if that's completely open, and I will check on that and find out what's going on, because it could be. They are completely free. They have recovery coaches that are there. Everyone there that helps out, that will greet you as you come in or will sit with you, are all people in recovery, so they understand. You know, it's all level. Everyone's equal there. And they have lots of resources about recovery stuff, and then also about like domestic violence, jobs, housing, different kinds of things.
Exactly.
It's really cool. Mental health, real big on, you know, helping people out with that. And so it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, they're everybody that are at.
You just cut out. What happened? Oh, no. What? Keep talking. Oh, I cut out too.
Oh.
Oh, there you are. There you
okay.
are.
Okay. Sorry. Everybody at recovery, they're wonderful people. And it doesn't matter day or night if you get a number from anybody, call them, please, because they are willing to listen to you and help you through anything that needs to be.
So, well, we are nearing the end. And so I just want to thank everyone for listening today. And Johnny will be back next week, so everything will go nice and smoothly. And we just hope that this was helpful for you today. And if you have any questions, please feel free to go to the Laetal Recovery Community Center. And their phone number is 208-883-1045. All right. You're listening to KRFP in Moscow Pullman.
If my words did glow with the gold of sunshine, and my tunes were played on the harp unstrung, would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broken. Perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know. Don't really care. Let there be songs to fill the air. Rippled in still water, when there is no pebble tossed, nor wind to blow, reach out your hand. If your cup be empty, if your cup is full, may it be again, let it be known. There is a fountain that was not made by the hands of man. There is a road, no simple highway, between the dawn and the dark of night. And if you go, no one may follow. That path is for your steps alone. When there is no pebble tossed, no wind to blow, you choose to lead, must follow. But if you fall, you fall alone. If you should stand, then who's to guide you? If I knew the way, I would take you home. La da da da, la da 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 da, la da 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 da.